I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live. It's only just a matter of. Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's amazing word, and that heightens your awareness of his presence in your life. Well, my guest today writes this, rest is not for weaklings. Hear that again. Rest is not for weaklings. Hollowing out space for rest is actually work. Finding time for rest is the hand and feet of the promises we long to claim. It means saying no. It means having limits within ourselves. It means having limits with others. And it takes courage to rest in the midst of an outcome-driven society. It takes strength to walk away from good in pursuit of better. But healing occurs when we allow ourselves the time, space, and grace to be in the presence of God in the middle of our busy lives. What a word in due season we've got for you today. Dr. Sandra Dalton-Smith joins me today. Had her on, I want to say, 2-3 months ago, and was so incredibly inspired by the conversation. I'm like, we're not done yet. You got to come back. Her book is titled Sacred Rest, Recover Your Life, Renew Your Energy, Restore Your Sanity. And this, you know, we've talked about rest, the rhythm of rest, and, you know, I care a lot about life rhythm and wellness and wholeness. I covered a lot. But this, I've read a lot of books. This one's so different because, first of all, Dr. Sandra is an MD. And second of all, she says it depends on depending on the kind of tired you are, depends on the kind of rest you need. It's so obvious, but I've never heard anybody say it before. So I can't wait for you to hear from her. A couple quick announcements before we get her on. One, I wrote a blog post on our Faith Radio site called Unselfish Self-Care. And this is very pertinent to today's topic. So be sure to check it out when you visit our website. Lots of great content there. Also, I want you to join the Kindness Always 31-day challenge. We are we're just creating some momentum around random acts of kindness. So all of March, we're asking you, sign up on our website, myfaithradio.com, but every day of March, engage in a random act of kindness. And if you sign up, you'll get some cards that you can use, like if you're going to do a drive-through where you pay for somebody, the little card can go with it. You'll find the information on our website, myfaithradio.com. But it will culminate on Bill Arnold's show on April 1st, which is Bill's birthday, where you'll call in and give some testimonies. But our dream and desire is just to mobilize thousands of people engaging in acts of kindness. I mean, it can change somebody's life and it creates a ripple effect that makes the world a better place. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Dr. Sandra Dalton-Smith is a board-certified internal medicine physician. She's majored in biochemistry at the University of Georgia and graduated with honors from the Meharry, I think I'm saying that, Medical College, forgive me. She's been an adjunct faculty member at Baker College and Davenport University in Michigan, is a national international resource on the mind-body-spirit connection. She resides in Alabama with her ultra-marathon-running husband, Bobby, and their two sons. Dr. Smith, welcome back to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Looking forward to our conversation. You've been on before, so you know we love to do this, but we start every day talking scripture. Wondering if there's a passage you've been thinking about these days you can share with us.
I think the one that has been really, I've been clinging to more than anything else has just has been Psalm 91, really the entire passage of it.
Yeah.
He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God. I think for me, that's just an entire psalm has just been such a comfort during this time with COVID, because it even talks about pestilence and just all the different things that we confront in life, and that God is our shelter, is our refuge. So many ways that they describe him within that passage.
Yeah, it's amazing. You go from being afraid to realizing you tuck yourself under his wing, you find rest. And from there, you start to watch as he protects you from all of these things coming at you. And then eventually he says, open your eyes and you'll see the punishment of the wicked if you make the Most High your dwelling place. I mean, just a picture of not only protection, but then you're going to open your eyes and see justice someday. So pretty powerful. I forgot to tell our listeners, we've got 5 copies to give away of this hardcover amazing book. And Sandra's title again is Sacred Rest, Recover Your Life, Renew Your Energy, Restore Your Sanity. Text the word book if you want in on the drawing. 877-933-2484. 2484. And I'd love to know in a separate text, what kind of tired are you? Is it emotional, social, mental, physical? As best as you can diagnose yourself, tell me, what kind of tired are you? So, Dr. Sondra, in the book, you write about a patient who came to see you with a certain list of symptoms. And when you told her she was perfectly healthy, she got pretty mad at you. Do you remember that story?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Tell us that one.
Well, I think she really embodies a lot of people who walk through my door. That was just the particular one I chose to share. But there, so many people were coming during the time that I was practicing internal medicine full time with just their list of complaints. I don't feel good. I don't have energy. I'm not sleeping well. My body aches all the time. Just this list of really what seems like not connected medical issues. And really, as a physician, all you can do is kind of do the appropriate kind of screening test to try to determine if there is any underlying problem, whether or not they're diabetic or if they have a thyroid issue. And on most of those occasions, there were a large number of people who their tests were all perfectly normal. And I didn't believe this was just in their head. They looked tired. They looked fatigued. They looked as if they lacked energy. But they were getting 7-8 hours of sleep. They were doing all they knew to do to feel better, and it just wasn't working.
Hmm. And so your diagnosis, if I remember right, was a chronic rest deficit?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, say more about
basically,
that.
Yes, which basically is, of these 7 types of rest that I talk about, when someone gets to a point of not having adequate energy in one of these 7 buckets to do the work that they're trying to do, then they're functioning on a rest deficit. They don't actually have, if we think about our energy level and how we pour out into our day as if it's a bucket or a reservoir. At some point in time, if you're not continually restoring what's needed, you're going to get to a place where you're pouring out of the emptiness or the end of that bucket. And that's where a lot of people are functioning. They're functioning out of their rest deficit. So they're still producing. They're still holding their homes together and showing up at work every day and doing all the things, but they're doing it from a place of emptiness. It's not from a place of fullness, of happiness, of joy, of peace. It's really more of a striving to continue to produce rather than working from God's grace.
I want to read some of the symptoms of chronic rest deficit. And as you're listening, tell me, say, yep, that's me. I would love to know. Just kind of take a random poll of our listeners. And here they are. Wake up feeling unrested, difficulty concentrating, emotions easily affected by others' actions, headaches, muscle aches, generalized fatigue, strained relationships, lost sense of expectancy and adventure, depend on quick energy fixes, crave comfort items at night like ice cream or wine, feel like life is out of control. And if that's you, I'd love to hear from you, hear more. You know, what's interesting is, like you said, this gal, this patient that came in was getting 8 hours. I think it can be so frustrating if we don't understand that there's different types of fatigue, so there's different types of solutions. If you feel like I'm eating right, I'm getting to bed on time, but maybe not realizing I'm emotionally or have a sensory, deficit. So maybe just speak in general, and then we'll dig into the details of these, but why it can be so frustrating to go, I live a disciplined life, but we're ignoring maybe in our peripheral a part of our lives that's really being neglected.
Yes, I think that's what so many of us are doing. Our definition of rest is kind of focused around just the physical, and oftentimes it's being focused around really just the sleeping aspect of rest. And when we look at that, if we're looking at the 7 different types of rest, sleep is just one of the 7 types. It's a type of physical rest. And even with physical rest, we have 2 different types. We have active and passive. So when you're looking at that, if all of your eggs are in the sleep bucket to get all of your rest that you need, you're omitting the other types of rest that are available to you. You're not really allowing yourself to be filled up in all 7 areas if you're only trying to get sleep as your barometer of if you're getting enough rest in the day.
Mm-hmm. And when you say these are things that don't work, vacations, even though vacations are great, that is, you don't save up your rest for your vacation. Medications, sometimes I guess they're necessary. But that's, you know, we do the quick fix thing so often, sleep marathons. Say a word before we dig into the types of fatigue, multitasking. I want to read this excerpt from your book, but have you unpack a little bit. Multitasking fatigues your mental resources. It splits your attention between activities and increases potential for errors, impairs your judgment, and reduces performance. Multitasking does not lead to more time for rest. Well-rested people do not exponentially multiply their activities. They divide and conquer. Wow, say more.
Yes, I think for many people, if we looked at our brain like we do our computer screens, you know, most of the time if I go to somebody's computer screen, they have 10 or more tabs open. And that's what most of our brains look like. We have all these tabs open and we're trying to jump from one area that we're working on and contemplating and thinking about to another area. And it's no different than those tabs on our computer. You can't be working in all of them at one time. And so trying to jump from one to the other just increase the likelihood that you're going to get more mentally fatigued. And so that's when we start seeing people who are in their 30s, 40s, 50s who do not have dementia but say that they have a difficult time concentrating. What they have a difficult time doing is focusing. And because of their inability to focus, all of the multitasking is training their brain to jump from one task to another rather than to be able to focus and to concentrate and to remember things well.
And quality of life has so much to do with being present in the moment. And so this multitasking thing has trained us in the wrong way. We think we're being more efficient, as you said, but we're actually creating a fractured life and perspective. I mean, there's some, I consider myself a pretty focused, task-oriented person. But when I considered the multitask thing, you know, a year ago, and the Lord just said, I want you to get more focused, I thought, wow, okay. And I started to pay attention to how often I jump tracks because I've got too many things going. And it really does impact, when it really matters, your capacity to be fully present in the moment, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, just some of the basic things. You're at maybe a child, one of your children's events or something like that, and you're there and you're, you know, you're wanting to be in the moment, but it's so easy for us to pick up our phones and then next thing you know, we are checking emails or texting someone a message that we forgot to get back to them on. And it doesn't take very long to be completely out of the mindset, the heart positioning, all of the emotions that you brought into that moment to experience with your family have now shifted over into work and more checking off of your to-do list.
Wow. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we're going to delve into these different types of rest. And when we come back, I want to for sure tackle this one. I said, what kind of tired are you? And this one, this dear listener said, emotional. I'm a therapist with all clients on Zoom, which, wow, for almost a year, feeling drained. Please pray for all mental health workers on air. We will do that when we come back. So yes, emotional rest is one kind, physical, mental, spiritual, social, sensory, creative. We're going to talk about these different kinds of fatigue and the ways that we can help you find rest. I really want you to be replenished, to know the joy of the Lord is your strength. Talking to Dr. Sandra Dalton-Smith, and her book is titled Sacred Rest, Recover Your Life, Renew Your Energy, Restore Your Sanity. One of the really most practical books I have seen on rest. We've got 5 copies of this great hardcover book to give away. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. And if you've got questions, comments, send those in a separate text. And dear therapist, we're going to pray for you on the other side of the break. Back in a minute. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. You know, most everybody's tired in some way, shape, or fashion. And if you think there's only one way to be tired, you may try one solution and it doesn't work. I'm super glad you tuned in today because there are multiple ways to be fatigued, which means there's multiple ways to be replenished. Talking to Dr. Sandra Dalton-Smith, her book is titled Sacred Rest, Recover Your Life, Renew Your Energy, Restore Your Sanity. Got 5 copies to give away. Again, really, to me, one of the more practical books I've seen on this topic. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. And if you've got questions, comments, send those in a separate text. I'm going to jump down to emotional fatigue because a therapist who listens on her drive home every day, or maybe it's a he, I'm not sure. But anyway, they have had clients on Zoom for almost a year. It's one thing to do what they do, but then to do it on Zoom, Wow, feeling so drained. Please pray for all mental health workers on air. We're going to pray for you in just a moment. But Sandra, talk a bit, if you would, about when you know you're emotionally fatigued.
Yes, and specifically for that situation you're mentioning, I would love to kind of extrapolate on maybe some of the other types of rest that that particular person may be deficient in, because emotional is the one that's automatically coming to mind because of their job. And emotional rest, just to answer your question, specifically deals with making sure that even as someone who is helping others work through their mental health and well-being, are there people in your life where you are actually feeling the ability to be very open and upfront and authentic with, the same way that you have this relationship with your patients? It's very necessary for those who are in any type of service where you are really exposed to the trauma and all that goes on with helping other people, that you also have the ability and the freedom in your own life to get the rest of being able to be just very authentic and real about your own feelings with someone. Mm-hmm. But as you mentioned with Zoom, what I'm finding is a lot of mental health and healthcare workers who have had to do this transition, what they're experiencing isn't just the need for more emotional rest, but the need for more sensory rest, because mm-hmm. their jobs never required them to use the amount of electronics that they're having to use now. And they haven't adapted or really come up with a stress management or wellness management plan for themselves on how to restore the amount of sensory overload that they're experiencing because of all of the changes that have had to be made.
Boy, that's such a good point. Wow. I want to read this. You experience emotional rest when you no longer feel the need to perform or meet external expectations. When our emotional withdrawals exceed our emotional capacity, we experience emotional fatigue. Emotional rest is a deposit back into our emotional account. I want to read some of the symptoms that may be present for you if you're dealing with this kind of rest deficit. You have a tendency to focus on your failures and flaws. You experience self-doubt and insecurity, which prevents you from trying new things. You constantly compensate who you are with apologies or clarifications, and you beat yourself up when you make even the slightest mistake. So, Dr. Sandra, what are some of the most effective and wonderful ways, I should say, to find rest emotionally?
I think every one of us needs to have those people in our lives, whether they are someone that we're paying, like a therapist or a coach, or someone like a pastor or a trusted friend, that we can really just be truly authentic and ourselves with, where we don't have that extra stress of performance that many people experience in a lot of their relationships because of their relationships maybe are of a professional nature where they're trying to both keep this level of professionalism intact. We need those people where we can just truly be ourselves with, and that usually isn't a large number of people. I call it our inner circle. It's those couple of people, one or two often, that we just can say, you know, I'm having a rough day, I'm anxious, I'm nervous, I'm whatever that emotion may be. And you have the liberty of saying it to these people in your life without feeling like you're being judged and without feeling like you have to cover up how you feel.
Very good. Well, Father, we lift up this dear therapist friend to you and all mental health care workers. Lord, pour out your spirit in a fresh way. And what Dr. Sandra says is so insightful, that it's not just emotional. That's that. And then it's sensory as well. Overexposure to all these electromagnetic fields and the screens, and it adds a dimension that's so challenging. So, Father, we pray, God, bring replenishment, bring healing. Lord, we all need wisdom about how to do things different, do things new, to navigate in a way, to note the exit ramp that you're providing so we can be replenished. So pour out your spirit in a fresh way. Replenish, restore, redeem, and help us be creative in the ways that we discern our fatigue so we can get the rest we need. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Let's talk about physical rest. We've got about 3.5 minutes to our hard break at the bottom, so I want to pick this up maybe on the other side. But one of the things mm-hmm. that you say is, you mentioned this, passive and active forms of physical rest. Say more about that.
Yes, well, the passive forms are sleeping and napping. But the active forms are the ones that sometimes we don't pay attention to. It's the types of physical rest that actually help our bodies stay in a healthy muscle tension. So we're not tight and painful and always having those neck aches and back aches and issues that people experience. So physical rest that is active could include things like stretching. It could include a leisure walk where you're not physically trying to exercise and burn calories necessarily, but the focus is more on really just making sure your body is active and moving and your circulation and your lymphatics are moving throughout your body, because that's where the healing comes. When all of those areas actually get the healthy blood flow coming to them, and through that healthy blood flow, you start getting healing. And you want to be aware of that. You know, are you sitting at your computer desk in a healthy way? After a couple hours, does all of a sudden your neck hurt or your wrist hurt, or do your legs start swelling? Because if they do, then you have an active physical rest deficit based on your ergonomics of how you're using whatever desk chair or what computer software or computer rather that you're using. You have to be mindful of these things, because what happens is over time, that ends up being chronic back pain and chronic neck pain and all of these other health issues people are confronted with.
It's so fascinating, you know, like our spine is supposed to be able to move, and our muscles are supposed to be strong. And yet when we don't strengthen our muscles and they get all tensed up and suddenly they lock up, when if you take a blow and your muscles are locked, it's what takes the blow is your spine. That's where people blow discs, because of lack of flexibility and super tight muscles, because you know, they're not strengthening them. They're stressed. And I think it's fascinating when you say, if you have a physical job, then of course you need physical rest. And yet I'm going to read this. We confuse exercise recommended for weight loss with activities for promoting body peace. Exercise for weight loss is often a physical stressor to the body. It's a good form of stress, yet all stress needs reprieve. And I just got to say this quickly, but as someone who's coming out battling some Lyme disease junk that I have for a lot of years, I've come a long way, but I've got a ways to go. I love to cycle, and I'm cycling, you know, 40 minutes hard a day, most days unless I don't feel well. And my doctor friend said, that's too much stress on your body. She says, back way up 15, 20 minutes twice a week, and start to do other things, strengthening, lengthening Pilates. And I'm telling you, Dr. Sandra, in doing that, it showed imbalances in my body. It showed me weak places, because I was only challenging one plane, my body, and not paying attention to the other parts that needed some building up. And I think we all have those blind spots, don't we?
Absolutely. I think that's where we get in dangerous situations, because of those blind spots. Those blind spots are still having an effect on how we feel, and we're just not aware of them to be able to correct them.
So when we come back on the other side, let's talk a little bit more about healthy rest. If you're physically working, if your job is a physical job, what might rest look like? But if your job is not physical, one of the ways you get replenished is to get moving. And you may be surprised, because we may end up sitting on the couch binge watching because you're so tired. And then you find yourself more tired. So this is a time to get up and get moving. And you'll be amazed at what it does for you, because you're made to move. Talking to Dr. Sandra Dalton-Smith. Again, her book, Sacred Rest, Recover Your Life, Renew Your Energy, Restore Your Sanity. Text the word book to 877-933-2484 if you want in on the drawing. Comments and questions in separate texts. I would love to know if you can best discern it. What kind of tired are you? What do you think? Mental, physical, emotional, sensory, like too much computer? Let me know. I'm just sort of taking a loose poll here. More with Dr. Smith in just a moment. Still, oh, restless mind, what you seek, you find. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, talking to Dr. Sandra Dalton-Smith about her amazing book, Sacred Rest, Recover Your Life, Renew Your Energy, Restore Your Sanity. And again, the unique approach here is not all fatigue is the same. Since there are different kinds of tired, there are different kinds of solutions. We've talked about emotional fatigue and what you need to recover your life if you're just emotionally spent. Physical, we're talking right now, and before we move on, we've got so many more to cover, but there's so much to say here. But on the physical side, so you've got, let's say you've got two different patients, Dr. Sandra. You got one who's physical all day long, and the other one who sits in front of a computer all day long. prescribe what they need so that they can be replenished?
Well, the person who's actively using their body, let's say like a, well, actually, let's make it even very simple. Not even someone that you would automatically think is physically using their body. Let's say if you're a mom and you have a toddler that's 30 pounds that you're picking up and down all day long, you may not think about the fact that you are lifting 30 pounds all day long and that your arms, your neck, your back, your shoulders need a reprieve from that. They need some time to being stretched back out and being relaxed after that repetitive weightlifting session that you do as a mom. Mm-hmm. And then we have someone else who maybe their job is sitting at a desk all day. And so they're thinking that, well, I'm sitting at a desk, I'm not physically active as far as needing to stretch my arms or anything, but their positioning of their chair is such that they're short like I am. So their legs are not fully flat on the ground. So they're getting abnormal pressure at the back of their knees, which increases their risk for swelling in their legs or feet, varicose veins, all those things dealing with poor vascular circulation. That person, the solution might be having a little footstool up under their desk so that their legs are elevated by putting their feet flat on the stool so that they don't have the abnormal pressure back up on their vascular system causing a problem where, you know, at 30 years old, it may not be a big deal, but that same person working that same desk job for 10 years is going to have an issue.
And also, you know, you got the mom who's running around. It's more anaerobic, but it's just movement all day. You got the person behind the desk. Would it be good for them to find some kind of aerobic exercise a few times a week where they're getting the blood flowing and they're breaking up a sweat and all that?
Absolutely. So the person who's sitting under the desk, a footstool is something they can do to kind of get some physical rest in the middle of during their workday. But absolutely, they need to have some time where they're doing an activity that like a leisure walk or prayer walk or something like that, stretches on the floor, something where they are actually getting circulation over their entire body. So, yes, yeah, absolutely.
And it is amazing how, like in the physical realm, we'll default to what's easy but not what's best. And here we go about mental rest. Same with the mental, you know, we default to places that are actually not good for us. So that's why you say rest takes work. And I want to read about mental rest and then have you unpack it. You write this: as important as it is to rest your body, it's equally important to quiet your mind from the ongoing influx of information it receives. Much like our social media news feed, our mental background noise is often infused with negativity. Do you hear that? Thoughts about the future are contaminated with anxiety. Thoughts about the past are tainted with regret. And thoughts about the present are spoiled with discontentment. Okay, talk more about a mental rest deficit. What might that look like?
Well, for a lot of people, it's the inability to actually get your mind to go to a quiet place. So if you are someone who you try to lay down at nighttime and you can't seem to get your headspace to be quiet, it's running through thoughts about things that have happened that day. You may even be regurgitating conversations where you wish you'd said things differently, or even regurgitating self-talk that you've had with yourself that then plays over into the night. You know, a lot of people say that they can't sleep because when they try to lay down, it's like their brain won't turn off. That's what a mental rest deficit looks like. Your headspace is so full of information, it can't get to that quiet place.
And you feel like you can't do it, but you absolutely can. And I love this suggestion in that chapter. You said one way to create a mental sanctuary is to choose a characteristic of God to rest on each day. I love this. Like love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness. Let each characteristic be the mental place you return to throughout the day as you practice creating a mental sanctuary. I love that. Say more about that.
Yes, I sometimes call that a mental word chair. So if we look at the brain almost like an unruly five-year-old, we tell the five-year-old to have a seat in the chair, and you come back 5 minutes later and the child's running around the room, you tell them to come sit back down in the chair. We can do the same thing with our brain. Our brains have to be disciplined and be brought back to the place we want it to stay. And so the word chair could be a characteristic of God. So if my word chair is peace, then whenever my brain tries to go and tell me how horrible things are and how stressed I should be and all of those things that can kind of bring me over into worry, then rather than allow my mental space to just run down whichever negative path it wants to go, I think of the word that I want it to come back to, and that's peace. Sometimes I actually will have a specific scripture that I'll bring, that I'll have attached to that word, so that if my brain just refuses to kind of focus on the one word, I'll have it focus on the scripture, which then helps me to at least keep it in a place that is positive, that is healthy, that is life-affirming, and that is truth, rather than running down a path that usually is just trying to take me into more worry and discontentment. Yeah.
I mean, that just goes along with whatever's lovely, whatever's praiseworthy, whatever's true. Think on these things, you know, and the God of peace will be with you. And I'm in the middle of memorizing this one. So I think it's Romans 15:13, but it's something to the effect of, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him so that you'll overflow, something like that. But that the God of hope would fill you with joy, hope, and peace as you trust in him. And that, you know, we've been talking behind the scenes, our team, just to how important it is to take these little breaks during the day, 15 minutes to just get with God, to rest in his presence, to unhitch from the task list and what it does for your soul, what it does with your mind. And all of us have got to find a way to do this because we need it, don't we?
Yes. And what you're describing is what I call spiritual rest as well. Mm. Because for me, spiritual rest, I love the word of God. I love studying scripture. Oftentimes I'm speaking, so I'm studying it to get a word to bring to someone else. So I spend a lot of time in the Word of God, and I found for myself that I have to be careful not to get to the point where I'm spending more time with the Word of God, and I don't spend time in the presence of God, because they're not always connected. Sometimes you can really get into study mode, and as a person who's very cerebral, I can get very into study mode and not be as focused on the relationship and the presence of God. And so that's very important to me, to include that spiritual rest component, that intimacy with God. So it's not just all about religion and the specifics of the word, but the person of the word.
Amen. Amen. So a spiritual rest deficit. Here are some signs that you might have a spiritual rest deficit. You feel hopeless, trapped, or defeated. You feel distant from God. You feel helpless. I already said that, trapped or defeated. So talk about that. What are some of the ways, especially when you're studying for content for an event, and then you remember, I'm his daughter first. Talk about how you get the spiritual rest that you need.
Yes, that's one that I end up having to do quite often, that particular practice you mentioned. For me, what I find that I have to do is I'm constantly asking God to show me his heart for whoever he's sending me to, because I find when I am able to see people the way God sees them, or relate to them in a way where I feel like I am understanding deeper the heart of God, then there's a different connection to it than if I'm just studying something just to academically share a word with someone. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that's a huge part of it, just spending time in his presence, just like you mentioned. Taking 5, 10, 15 minutes throughout the day just to stop, acknowledge God in my day, just to be aware of his presence, that he is with me at all times and in all situations. If I'm what I'm having to learn, as you mentioned in the beginning, God's opened some amazing doors, and what I'm having to learn is that even when I'm in situations that are not spiritual, so to speak, if I'm on a stage that's not a spiritual stage, that God is still with me in this moment, that he is still the person who has equipped me and allowed me to have these opportunities and to make a point of acknowledging him in those moments.
Mm-hmm. You know, as I just, you know, paying attention to just over the years, as I've been in radio for 15 years now and interviewing different leaders who then a year later, 2 years later, fall and their platform comes crumbling down. And so often when I'll see an interview of them later, they'll often say, I stopped making intimacy with God a priority. You know, God became a means to an end. It was, you know, a means to my platform. And I would imagine, as I'm thinking about that, just things I've observed that have put the fear of God in me for sure. When you think of a spiritual rest deficit, I think of it happening one of two ways: neglect just by not prioritizing your faith walk, or neglect, in other words, using God as a means to an end and your spiritual, you know, practices or your spiritual disciplines as just a practice, as you say, not a person, where, you know, we're going to God for content, or we're using him because that's part of our job. And it stops being the most important relationship in our life. Over and over again, we just seem, we're so prone to wander either into that striving, like the older brother or the prodigal, you mm-hmm. know, we're either staying, yeah. but we've missed out on the intimacy, or we're running and we're not connected at all. What do you think?
I so agree with you. And it's so easy to do. And I think that, you know, we've seen lots of Christian leaders fall over the past few years, and you know, it's easy to judge. But whenever I see those situations, I think about myself. I think about mm-hmm. how easy it is to get in work mode, where
absolutely.
The word of God, and it's part of what you do. So you just flip over into work mode. And mm-hmm. that intimacy becomes, it's very similar to marriages. You have to do the same thing even within your human relationships. If you allow the intimacy part of that to become an afterthought, then it's easier for the enemy to infiltrate your
Indeed.
Even your marriages. And
yeah.
so our relationship with God is a covenant as well. We're called the bride of Christ. It's a very similar process. You have to make that intimacy an important part of that, and it needs to be ongoing. It can't be like a one time I loved Jesus, and you know, the time that I got saved and got baptized, and now I'm going to forget about it. That doesn't work.
Yeah, and you know, just to be clear, there's no judgment coming from my heart either. There's just such caution, because even if you don't have a platform, it doesn't matter. It's when you get overtired, it's not only not mm-hmm. sustainable, it makes you spiritually vulnerable and physically and mentally vulnerable. I mean,
yes.
when I've read stories over the years of people who've not just high, you know, platform people, but you know, somebody who had a beautiful family and just walked away, and they retrace their steps. They got exhausted, so they forgot what was priority. They lost their taste for that which was good for them because they started making shortcuts. And I'm sure as a doctor, you see that when you get into that drive mode, one of the first things that happens is you take shortcuts, and then you justify them, and you drift from all the things you care about, you know?
Yes, that's so true. And as I mentioned, you're right. As a physician, I can't tell you how many couples I've seen after this has happened. And they're, you know, 20 years or so in practice. I've been with people as they walk down the aisle and then had their kids. And I hate to admit I'm that old and get to the point where they have a few kids. And it's like all of a sudden their marriage just crumbles. And when I'm talking to them individually, because they're both my patients, that's usually what they said. I don't know them anymore. I've just grown apart from them. And that didn't happen overnight. You know, that's a slow, steady process. It's a slow wedge that's driven in. And we have to continue to draw closer to each other. We have to draw close to God on a regular basis. And we have to draw close to those that we're in covenant with in marriage on a regular basis.
So good. We're going to pause here. So we've talked about emotional rest deficit, physical rest deficit, mental rest deficit, spiritual rest deficit. When we come back, we're going to talk about social, sensory, and creative rest deficit. Again, I'd love to hear, what kind of tired are you? You can text in 877-933-2484. And if you want in on the drawing for the book, again, Dr. Sandra Dalton-Smith's book is Sacred Rest, Recover Your Life, Renew Your Energy, Restore Your Sanity. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Going to wait to rest in the Lord. He restores your soul. He cares so much about you. You know what? The Lord is your shepherd. You shall not want. He leads you. He makes you lie down in green pastures, leads you beside still waters. He restores your soul for his name's sake. Tom says, after hearing more, I realize I'm emotionally and spiritually drained. I'm taking several spiritual college courses. It's becoming harder and harder to concentrate. And this dear listener says, my name's Chris. I'm experiencing all the symptoms of fatigue mentioned on Faith Radio today. I would love a copy of the book. Prayers appreciated too. Father, I just pray for Tom and for Chris. Oh, God in heaven, they represent so many. They're so not alone. Lord Jesus, we pray, lead them in your everlasting way. Show them, God, your way, that your yoke is easy, your burden is light. And I pray, God, that there would just be a new creativity, creative ways to snatch moments of rest, that they feel themselves being buoyed up again. Lord, you care so deeply, and so do we. Bless these dear friends in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Sandra, I'm sure your heart just breaks because since this book came out, you're hearing constant stories of people who are just exhausted, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I think if nothing else, the virus and all that's happened, you know, in 2020 really brought to light for many of us just how exhausted we are when we're in our homes almost all day, every day because of shutdowns and quarantine, and we're still exhausted. I think a lot of people thought, oh, if I ever retire or if I ever could work from home, my life would be made, you know, and I would be so energized. And they found that not to be true because rest isn't just about stopping. It's about intentional restoration. And many of us were not prepared.
Come on. I need to say, rest isn't just about stopping. It's about intentional restoration. Man, if you take nothing else away from the show today, hear what Dr. Sandra just said. It's not just about stopping. Intentional restoration. There are actions you can take to get your soul filled back up. Okay, talk about a social rest deficit. And are you saying that even though COVID has kept us isolated? Love to know your thoughts.
Yes, and COVID, social rest is interesting because it's really talking about how being around certain people affects us. So the majority of us spend our time with people who are negatively pulling from our social energy, our family, our children, our spouses, our coworkers, our clients, they all need things from us. So they are requiring things from us. We have to have those people in our lives also who don't need anything from us, but we just enjoy being around them. They're those life givers. They're the people that are speaking into us, those people that are kind of buoying us up and helping us to continue to stay in a good place. And the problem is those people don't put any demands on us. So they're not going to force themselves in your life. You have to make space for them. That's where, you know, a lot of adults don't have adult friends anymore because all of their time is spent with the people who need things from them and none with the people who they just enjoy their company.
Oh, interesting. Wow. So you're saying in this kind of, we're still partially isolated to really consider who those people might be and maybe pursue them and make a connection with them?
Yeah, but, you know, the interesting thing was even some of the research showed that, like, my social rest people in my life are my closest female friends are across the other side of the world. So one's in California, I'm on the East Coast, one's on the West Coast, one's in Canada. At least once a month, we get together by Zoom or Skype, one or the other, and we see each other. So we are able to, we can't hug each other or touch each other, but we are able to actually see each other's body movements, facial expressions. We can see when something's not right. What's one of, you know, if someone's concerned, we can actually see how their facial expressions and their mannerisms are changed. And I think that's the thing you have to recognize, that even if you can't physically be with those people, make some type of allowances in your life to at least be able to see their presence and actually be able to engage with them in that way.
Amen. All right. Sensory rest deficit. What is that about? I mean, you touched on it earlier, but maybe say more and what are some descriptors?
Yeah, sensory rest deficit really is just taking into account to what sensory inputs are filling your day. How noisy is the environment that you spend most of your time? Is it with a room full of phones ringing and people talking in the background at an office space? Are there kids, you know, playing in the background? That's a happy noise, but it's ongoing sound. Is the TV or radio always on? How bright are the lights in the rooms that you're in? As even all the way down to, you know, the type of foods that you're eating. Is everything extra spicy or extra salty in a bag or in a package? Because our senses have to be able to have some downtime as well. So it's important to be aware if you have a lot of sensory input just within your normal day, what you have to do for your work or your job or your career, to try to have some times when you're not getting sensory input. For example, maybe on the drive home, turn the radio off rather than have that be additional noise that's playing in the background. Maybe if you are at home and the TV's playing in the background but nobody's watching it, be mindful of that and turning it off. And one of the biggest ones is really looking at the number of notifications on your phone. For a lot of people, they get sensory overload simply from the number of notifications they get on their cellular devices. Most people would greatly improve their sensory rest deficits by shutting their notifications down to just their phone and their text messages and taking back control over how they consume social media and how they consume, like, news sources.
Mm-hmm. All right. I love that. So, again, go back to what you said. It's not just enough to stop. You've got to take some actions for replenishment. Before we go to the last one, creative rest, I want to jump back to the social one. That it's very fascinating what you said to me. And I'm an introvert, and so I get recharged in solitude. But when you look at – we've got a lot of introverts that listen to the show as well. But when you look at the isolation, how we could go to be in isolation to our own detriment – for us, connecting with someone who's a safe place for us actually brings a kind of soul rest that too much isolation cannot bring, where someone who maybe is hyper extrovert and they've been, you know, kind of just jittery because they've been alone so much, their answer. So what I'm saying is it's interesting that to have a certain measure of health, you've got to have a healthy community, no matter if you're an introvert or an extrovert. It might, the degree will be different, but we need people,
yeah,
don't we?
Absolutely. You've nailed it. That's exactly right. Whether you're an extrovert or an introvert, both need people. Introverts are happy with fewer people and deeper connections. Extroverts are happy with more people, and they're okay with the connections not having to go super deep. But they like people. They like being around others and the engagement of being with others.
Wow, very good. All right, the final one, creative rest deficit. This is one I didn't expect to be on the list, so unpack this one if you would.
Creative rest deficit really has to do with how much of your creative energy do you use throughout the day. And oftentimes people will say, well, I'm not a creative. I don't write. I don't paint. I don't do music. But when I'm talking about a creative rest deficit, if you're someone who has to be innovative, to think outside of the box, to solve problems, to come up with new ideas and new ways of doing things in your home or even at your work, then you're using creative energy. And you can deplete that just as you can any other type of resource that you use within your day. And so it's important to be aware that if you're having to do a lot of problem solving and you feel tired all the time, that it could be because of a creative rest deficit. And part of the way you restore that is by allowing yourself to be inspired, to allow yourself to be able to appreciate beauty, whether that's in natural forms like being outside, looking at the mountains, being around flowers or trees, or that could be man-made beauty like artwork or listening to music.
Hmm. I mentioned this on the show yesterday, and I know it just sounds so trivial, but I got this orchid from Target. I got this orchid, and it sits on my little round prayer table, but I've never really noticed the way the curvy leaves. They're so breathtaking. And every morning when I come out to have my time with the Lord, I'm instantly in awe at God's attention to detail. I can't even tell you what that has done for my soul. And that's the whole thing, is like there are creative solutions for each of these kinds of fatigue, aren't there?
There are, and I love that example because for myself, creative rest was one that there wasn't very much literature about, but there were so many people that were experiencing a creative rest deficit because their entire lifestyle revolved around problem solving. Hmm. Teachers trying to teach auditory and a visual learner in the same classroom, constantly experiencing creative rest deficits and had no idea and couldn't understand why they always felt tired all the time.
Wow. This is so good. As we get ready to wrap, I got to read one more excerpt from your book. Dr. Sonda Dalton-Smith writes this: "You are free to participate with God, free to live, free to move, and free to be, no longer confined to overperforming and overachieving. Resting in the smallness and the greatness, possessing the boldness to fertilize where you desire an abundant harvest, no longer pushing the limits, demanding your way, but participating in the delicate exchange between faith and action, working from a place of being acknowledged, affirmed, and approved. This is work under grace, work born from rest, of being intimately known and accepted." Dr. Sandra, please come back. I feel like there's so much more we can talk about, but thank you for your time today.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you.
God bless you. Her book again, Sacred Rest. We will leave that drawing open for a little bit longer. Have a blessed day, and we'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.